Good morning. I was thinking about this coming up and I was like, Erica, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I can't, I don't know. I'm gonna just call Randy and tell him, could you just do something? Can you pick somebody else? But Erica was like, you don't need to do something crazy. You can just go through Colossians and read God's word and like have it speak for itself, you know? And so I'm very thankful to have a wise wife. And I'll stop embarrassing her now. Just that. So I'll bring that up a little bit. So I wanted to look at Colossians, and it's interesting because it's, from what I could read it, from what I found out, Colossians and Ephesians and Philemon all go together, and I think it was Steve kind of went through Ephesians. Wasn't that right, like a few weeks ago? Anyway, so I thought that was cool. I didn't even know I picked Colossians, and then I started reading up on it, and I was like, oh. So Ephesians, how was it? Ephesians kind of gives more teaching on. It emphasized they kind of say a lot of the same things, but they emphasize different points. Ephesians kind of emphasizes on being the body of Christ, and Colossians kind of emphasizes on Christ being the head. So it's interesting. Philemon was actually a guy in, I mean, yeah, Philemon was a guy in Colossae. But Paul never went to Colossae. That was, I guess it was a big town at one point, but then it became, by the time Paul was writing these letters, it's kind of a little no-name town that lost its importance for the most part. So Paul kind of heard about it from, what's this guy's name? Epaphras. And we know that, Onesimus, or I think that's how most people say his name. Probably heard about Colossae from Epaphras and Onesimus, and wrote this letter based upon their take on what was going on. Anyway, I find some of that stuff interesting context. Hope that's not too boring for some of you. I also wasn't like, what was it? It was the one you picked. What was that? Josh, help me out.
Welcome.
Yeah. Come thou. What?
Come thou.
Yeah. Come thou, fount of every blessing. And I was like, that goes so well with everything here. And then Rock of Ages was picked. And I was like, I don't even need to get up there. I'll just go read those two songs out loud. And it basically like hits all the highlights in Colossians. But anyway, I just thought that was really cool. Please join me in prayer before we get started and looking into the Word. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for this body of believers. Thank you for being our head and completing us in you and being our fullness and filling us with your goodness, and your grace, and your love. Please help us to live out that and accept you as our head. Yeah, bless our hearts and minds. Don't let any thoughts get in the way of your word. Help us to hear your word rightly, and help us to take all our hearts and thoughts captive in obedience to Christ and your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I don't know, probably Steve wants a title to this, but I'm just going to call it Colossians 1:1 through wherever I get to. If the stage fright takes hold of me, we might get through the whole book. I'll start just reading sections. If you guys want to get like a better big picture of Colossians, just read the whole thing over a couple of times. I was going to start off by reading the whole book through, but then I was like, people kind of, you know, they're tired that Sunday morning, they just have their warm coffee, they just, I don't know, at least that's how I am, I'm kind of sleepy. Anyway, so if you want to get a good big picture view, please go home and read this a couple times over. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Not really of importance, but that first little bit, I always wondered at that wording. By the will of God and Timothy, our brother. Is Paul an apostle by the will of Timothy, our brother? Anyway, doesn't matter. We give thanks to the Lord, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. So Paul's commending them here on their love, and I was just thinking about how we need to lead out in love. We're supposed to allow God to love us and then work out of that love for everybody else. Like, if we're working out of God's love, we're not going to get tired. It's not going to be so difficult. I guess I just wanted to touch on that because I remember, well, yeah, you know, like still. But, like, you know, sometimes I'm just trying to do everything I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm like, oh, man, I need a break from loving people. Or, you know, whatever. And it's just like, you're probably not working out of the love of God. You're trying to work out of yourself. Because if you're working out of God's love, you're like working out of his love for other people. You're just kind of a middleman that he's putting his love into you, and then you're seeing his love for other people, and you're outflowing that to other people. Anyway, that's my understanding of it, thanks to some things that Randy and I have been going through, and that's been really cool thinking about it that way. And just seeing if there's anything else I want to touch on in this 3-8 section. And their love is coming from, we can see here, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before the word of the truth of the gospel. Wait, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So they're doing this out of seeing God's love for them and what he has for them in heaven, stored up, waiting for them. And I just thought that was really cool. That kind of ties into what I was saying. But they have this hope before them, like Jesus. You know, he how's that verse go? We talked about it at men's meeting. You got it on your mind, right? No? Thought you looked at me and you were like, ah, yeah, I know. For the joy of Christ. I'm forgetting the rest of it. But Christ suffered on the cross for the joy that was set before him. And this is kind of saying they're working out of that same heart, the joy set before them, looking towards Jesus. But that'll come up more later. So the next section I want to read through is 9 through 18. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Sorry, I actually wanted to stop there and just come back to this. Paul's asking for them to be filled with spiritual understanding. And then all these things flow out of that. I have in the past looked at this section and be like, okay, I'm like, somehow it got twisted and I said, okay, I need to read more. I need to study more. I need to like fill myself. And then all of this will come out of that. But I mean, maybe somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but really anything I say, just please tell me if I'm wrong, because I want to, you know, correct my thinking. But I see this as saying, Paul is asking God to fill them with knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they may walk worthy of the Lord. It's not saying, fill yourself with this wisdom and do so that you can be filled with, so that you can walk worthy of the Lord. Sometimes that can get, that often has gotten twisted in my mind, and I just wanted to highlight that, I guess, is all I wanted to do. And in that wisdom, I mean, that wisdom is in the Word. Not to take away from, you know, not saying that you can just not read your Bible and God's just gonna supernaturally fill you with everything that you need to know and you don't have to do anything. It's like he wants to take your hand and walk with you, and go before you, but with you, not doing it all for you so that you can teleport to the end of the thing. And in all wisdom, that phrase keeps coming up, so I just wanted to highlight that and let that be churning around in your mind as we go through this. All right, verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. And this section just really highlights Christ is first place in everything, everywhere, in all time, forever. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And God has qualified us to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in the light through him. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins. It says it right there. I'm not going to say any more. All right, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So here it's going again to that phrase. I mean, there's more in that section than just this, but I'm kind of just going through the things that I'm seeing here. There's a lot more here than what I'm putting out, so maybe, yeah, don't be afraid to go through this again. If somebody else wants to preach on Colossians soon, don't let this stop you. But I saw this this phrase, the hope of the gospel, which you heard. And where is that? Back here, we were talking about hope. Where was that? Was it 23? Huh? No, I'm saying there was somewhere back previous that, weren't we talking about hope? There was another phrase like that. Anyway, verse 5? Thank you. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Yeah, yep. That's what I mean. And so, that first verse didn't remind me of this, but this verse 23 reminded me of, I think I always talk about this verse when I'm up here. For some reason. But 1 John 3, 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven. I think when I think of the hope of the gospel, I think of like Jesus coming back and the gospel being completed. Like, that's the hope of the gospel in my mind. I don't know. It probably means different things for different people, but that's what it is for me. And I think it's fine for it to mean different things to different people. But just hoping in Christ coming back. If you're hoping in him coming back, you're loving him. Like, you're not afraid of him. You're ready for him to come back, and you can't wait to be free of all this. And I think if you have that hope, you know, it says you purify. How does it say it? And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. All right. I'll go on to verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to the saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So here we get to see Paul talking about his suffering with Christ and being an example of that. And in verse 28, I thought it was interesting. I don't know what got me into this originally, But the, so verse 28, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. For some reason, I looked at the interlinear there. And by the way, that's the second time it says all wisdom, and it will be mentioned again. But the word all and every is the same Greek word, and so I thought it was cool. Paul was saying all men, like him we preach, warning every man, all men, and teaching every man, all men, in all wisdom, that we may present all men perfect in Christ Jesus. And so you see his heart for just reaching out to everyone and trying to warn them, to teach them, to give, to bring them to all wisdom, which I'll just skip to this. Well, it's in my next section, so I'll just read that. So chapter 2, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches and the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both to the Father, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So, so now it's been saying, how should I say this? So the last little while it's been saying, you know, in verse 9, Paul was praying that they would be filled with all knowledge of his will in all wisdom. And in 28 of chapter 1, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And now we see that the fulfillment of all wisdom is Christ Jesus. I thought that was kind of cool. I don't know. It kind of stacked up in an interesting way in my mind. I don't know if I'm getting across how I thought that was pretty cool. But anyway, anything else in this section? And here we have Paul referring again to having a love for the brothers and sisters, coming out of maybe he doesn't say it exactly like that, coming out of a knowledge of the mystery of God. Okay, well, I'll move on. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. So I thought it was interesting. Paul was encouraging them to be rooted in Christ, who has preeminence in all things. And he ends that section with abounding in it with thanksgiving. And then he goes on to warn them of philosophy and reasoning according to the traditions of men. And I just had to think of, like there's, what am I trying to, what should I use as an example? Anyway, I think of people who are like kind of conspiratorial or like trying to think through all the things and figure everything out. And they aren't very thankful. They aren't very happy. They aren't very like, praise be to God for giving me this wisdom. It's like, no, I figured it out. I'm awesome. God, thank you for giving me this wisdom. You made me pretty cool. You know, and it's not in a heart of thanksgiving. Anyway, I saw that there and I thought that was interesting as well. Okay, so I'm going to read from verse 9 all the way through the end because I really feel like it's all really pertinent to each other. Especially, I feel like these, I'll start in verse 8 actually. I feel like verses 8 through 10 are kind of a short summary of then everything else in the rest of chapter 2. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you according to food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, in intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, with which all concern things which perish with the using according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. So, verse 20. Therefore, you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world. And verse 10. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. I meant verse 20 and verse 8. Therefore, you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world. Beware, let anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So, really, Paul's just expounding on, you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. And he goes on to say, like, this is how you are complete in him. Verses 11 through 15. And this is everything else that you need to watch out for. You aren't made complete through Sabbaths and festivals and talents and saying, don't taste, don't touch, don't handle. You're made complete or through false humility, worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up, fleshly mind. You're made complete through Christ, not through anything else. Christ is the completion. Anyway, and I thought that was really cool. This last bit, verses 21 through 23, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. I guess I need to read verse 20. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Oftentimes, in my mind, I've omitted this little section because I've thought of other verses where it contradicts this, or I think it does, like, don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. What's an example? I don't know, there's lots of things. Like, don't get too attached to money. Don't wear a hat. Or whatever, when praying, you know, there's different disciplines that we have. And I think, through calling it a discipline, we sometimes can forget what the discipline is for. We forget that we are made complete through Christ, not made complete through the disciplines of don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. Like, I think these things are, I don't think it's saying like that just anything and everything is fine. I mean, we know that, where is that? Acts 7 talks about those three, is it three or four things that they commanded everybody not to do? And it was like, abstain from sexual immorality, eating meat with blood still in it. Can somebody help me out? Does anybody remember these? Yeah. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is we all know that's there. The point is, like, they have those things, but I think the last section of verse 23 is what we can take away from it, and hold to all those things as well. Let me just read the whole last verse. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. They might be useful, but they aren't going to kill the flesh, I guess, is what I get from that. And it's Christ who we are made complete in. It's Christ who kills the flesh. It's Christ, well, helps us kill the flesh. And it's through him we are given the fullness of the wisdom of God and made complete through his blood. I think that's everything I can share right now. Thank you, everyone, for your attention. God bless.